Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to what used to be the Vice Gaming Podcast, and now will at least for this episode be the Waypoint UK Podcast, unless we think of a better name, which we may or may not do. But the name changes because Vice Gaming has now become a website of its own, much like Vice Sports, much like Munchies, Noisy, and so forth. Waypoint is now your place to go for all of Vice's video gaming coverage at waypoint.vice.com. Get that in there, out the way, done and dusted. I'm Mike Diver, the UK guy over here, senior editor for Waypoint, and I'm joined today for what would be episode 11 of the Vice Gaming Podcast, but now episode 1 of this new, potentially going to be changed podcast, by Grant Appleyard, who is senior producer at Sports Interactive, working on a particularly popular video game.
Just launched Football Manager 2017.
Football Manager 2017. So there's going to be a bit of a theme to this podcast, in so much as we're going to talk about Football Manager 2017, and I'm joined as well by a gentleman who's not feeling very well. I think, you know, just put that out there right now in case there's any coughs, splutters, or collapses on mic. Jim Weeks.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
What is it you do in these wonderful offices of ours, Jim?
I am the UK editor for Vice Sports.
Indeed, Jim is. And we're all quite partial to the football. We did a kind of a football podcast a few months ago when Joel Golby and a friend of mine, Steve Burns, were on. We were talking about FIFA versus PES and stuff. But, you know, because that's a bit of a
duopoly going battle.
On there. Yeah, the long-standing battle. Not a battle you have to deal with at Sports Interactive.
It's not been for quite a long time. The last sort of true competitor, I would say, was actually the old Championship Manager that came from when we split with Eidos after our sort of amicable end to the relationship, and we signed with Sega. I think it was 2005. Mm-hmm. Eidos then took the look and the feel and the brand name of Championship Manager, created their own version with Beautiful Game Studios. But unfortunately, they just didn't come up to the sort of same level, you know. And I think it only lasted two or three years, didn't it, before it fizzled out.
It disappeared. So, I mean, even though they had the name then, I mean, I guess people, the kind of audience followed the guys that were making it what it was, right? And I like the way you said unfortunately in there, like it's unfortunate, you know. It's just fun.
I'm all for a bit of competition, actually. Yeah. It's a strange one because you don't want to be complacent. You don't want to sit back on your laurels and think, well, no one's chasing us. So in some respects, because a lot of the people that work at Sports Interactive are actually big fans of the game. We want to make a game that's better each year for ourselves, if that makes any sense. You know, we all want to sit and actually play it and enjoy it. So therefore, we're our own competition, if you know what I mean.
Does that not lead to problems regarding sick days? Because, I mean, you say the game's just out now. You probably got... You need people in the office to make sure it's all working fine.
Yeah.
And Dave and Jeff are off. Oh, they're having a little duvet day, you know, to play the game, right? Because we've all been there.
It's a strange one. You know what, Crunch? I mean, you guys obviously know the games industry, especially on a game like ourselves where it's an annual release. Mm-hmm. We do have crunch periods. It's not something that we sort of hide. But when it comes to the game being released... We're all for people staying at home. By all means, stay under your duvet. You know, if you've got the laptop there for any desperate issue that comes up, just sit there, recharge your batteries, play the game. We actually have what are called play days where we say to the whole studio, right, down tools, don't fix any bugs, don't do any feature work, just sit and play the game, make some notes yourself, and then we send those back into the sort of production team and the QA, and it's a really good way of just reflecting on your own work, you know.
Yeah, yeah. In terms of yourself, Jim, I mean, I know you've played... Football Manager in the past. Are you going to... We're very busy at Vice. People like to think we slack around like it's all Nathan Barley or something, but it's really not. We do work a lot.
Nothing like that.
No, it's not.
I can't say I've played for almost 2 years now because it takes so much time and I just don't feel I have that time. And because I guess because I just love it so much and I get so into it that I feel like I'm unable to give the time it deserves to taking Millwall from League One into the Premier League or or even from taking a conference team up to the top.
Yeah, I hear you because I hear that a lot actually. And we have tried to build into the game less intensive routes, if I put it like that. A good example is with FM17 this year. When you first start the main career mode, you get a little responsibilities panel turns up and you can literally check, deselect or select whether you want to take control of training, whether you want to do staff contracts in and out, whether you want to do tutoring, whether you know you want to do all your transfers. And if you don't want to do it, you can take it off straight away. But what I found as I played subsequent seasons, I put those things back in each time, you know, because it's almost like you get the taste of it and then there might be a problem in training, you know. Three of the players are complaining because it's too intensive because it turns out you've got a cup game midweek, then you've got, you know, a league game at the weekend. And of course, it wears them out. And you're thinking the AI isn't quite bang on there. That's when you think, I want to do it. And you go in and you literally take the time and you learn it. And it doesn't feel like a burden because it wasn't forced upon you. So I think we've improved that this year. So get that demo.
I mean, it never felt like a burden. It was, you know, it was just so enjoyable. And I could never turn those functions off. I want to control everything.
A bit of a control freak.
Yeah, well, possibly. But it's hours and hours of my life, not least at university when I had that time. It was so much time dedicated to it. And just
what about, do you know much about Football Manager Touch?
Have
you
this of, is mobile one, right?
It's also a PC version as well. So it was combined within the same product last year, but this year, if you buy Football Manager 17, you also get Football Manager Touch 17 as part of your Steam library immediately.
Right, so,
if you fire up that version, what we try to do is sort of sit back and think, okay, we remember the old days, CMO 102, which is when I first joined the company in 2001, when we were back up in Upper Street in Angel. You could sit through a season in one night, literally move through it that quickly. We thought, right, we'll try and model.
Those were the university days for me, certainly, when you'd just be like, why are you still up? It's 5
a.m. And again.
But now Barnet are not where they were.
Barnet. You know? We've had Millwall, Barnet. Well, yeah.
You always pick someone lower down.
Who's your conference? You said conference. Who do you normally go for?
Yeah, I take them to conference. I managed Forest Green once.
Forest Green, excellent. Right. Okay.
Where I took them to. Millwall are the ones I remember because this must have been roughly 7-8 years ago that I had my long spell with Millwall.
Okay.
And I promoted a lot of the youth academy into the first team. And now, watching non-league football, I seem to be spotting my former youth players turning up at non-league clubs. I'm like, I remember him. He played for me.
But we'll get to that, I suppose, in a minute. Just I'll let you just mention your touch thing.
Sure.
We're drifting off there. Yeah. So we looked at CMO12, the timings and the things that you had to take control of in that version. And we tried to build a mode into the current version. And that's what became Football Manager Touch.
Right.
It's also on the app. So it's on iOS and Android, which is the one that you were thinking of. But the same version is also on your PC. If you've got a touchscreen PC, you can use it for that
all
as well.
Cool.
And that is a lot quicker, you know. There's a lot less press conferences. Yeah. There's a lot less of the player to manager interaction. You know, we've tuned that down a bit. So it might be an idea for anyone out there that's got that kind of daunted feeling. Mm. Give that a go. It's the same match engine underneath. You can do things like match plans. So if you don't want to have to sit through your friendlies, for instance, at the start of the season, you can set up match plans literally to make substitutions for you at certain times and run them through. And also you can fire off the quick match at any point. I should explain what that is. The quick match is when it's doing matches in leagues that you've got running, but you're not actively playing, it uses a quicker logic engine to speak to, because if it had to do the full 90-minute simulation that the main game does, it would take forever, you know, literally. And you've got that ability to use that in FMT at any point,
right?
So it's cool. A way in, you know. And what I found is people play Football Manager Touch for a few seasons and they think, I think I can handle the main game, and
I'll go up.
They move into it
and then their evenings are consumed, because I would use the mobile one, you know, commuting. I live down in Brighton nowadays, so up and forth to London and whatnot, you know, I use mobile games.
You've got a couple of hours each way.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And weirdly for me, that was one of the ways, because I kind of played it a bit at university. We're going back to sort of 2001 too as well. And I got back into it a lot again. Around about 2008, there was a mobile version.
Yeah.
And you were talking about like seeing your players. One thing I really remember of that, and it kind of leads into, we can talk about like kind of the amazing level of scouting and stuff. You do the amazing level of detail there. You know, Aaron Ramsey was like 16 then or something, right?
Right, yeah.
And I'd like, you know, start a season, I'm going to get Aaron Ramsey because the game says he's amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't know who the hell Aaron Ramsey was then. And now you look at him now, it's like, yeah, nailed it. And you were just saying, all right, you're finding your players in lower leagues and stuff. But, you know, the game has genuinely highlighted people
some
who are going to be really good.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Mm. It does that all the time, yeah.
Which is
Rooney's the classic one, you know. Rooney was brilliant, wasn't he, back in, I don't know what season it was. It was when he's at Everton's youth academy, wasn't he? He was at that point, you know, before he'd really broken onto the scene. But in the game, shot to stardom.
Right.
And then there you go, two or three years later, man, you bought him for how much? Was it club record at the time? I remember it was a lot, wasn't it,
when he signed. It feels like he's been there forever now.
It really does. But he, you know, that's one of the ones. I tell you, I just signed in my Newcastle game, Enzo Zidane.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I got him. I can't.
That is presumably a relative of
his son.
His son.
I managed to sign him, and he's. I've got him playing in the youth squad, you know. And the shirt sales have just. No, they haven't. It's just one of those. But you could see some. Well, let's just. A bit of fun, you know. Let's put him in there and see how he goes, you know. And I'll keep an eye.
You having been where, you know, at the company since 2001, this must have been something that, you know, it's very easy. I mean, I check the reviews and stuff for what's saying. Some people are saying this 2017. Well, it's kind of it's a very similar game again. It's hard when you do a yearly game, isn't it?
If
you do it year after year, some years are going to be less discernible progress. So there might be a lot going on underneath the hood.
You're absolutely right.
But you know, a lot of what the progress is those details, is that scouting, is that finding new players to bring into it.
Which,
if you're not a kind of seasoned football manager veteran, you're probably not going to get the most out of. I mean, how does a team like yours even do that? I know you've got people around the world,
just to sort of step back slightly from the scouting thing, but the point you mentioned there is actually a key one for us. What we don't want to see in reviews is, why have they changed this for no reason? Why have they added in something that's completely useless? You know, why are they messing with something that's a good formula? And when people say that, they're talking about our accuracy of the football simulation. Because all football manager is, we're trying to simulate a football world, you know.
Yeah.
And if we break that simulation, we've broken the game. So the difficulty we get is, I mean, you should see the features that we've got in our database. We've got a huge feature database that literally we have features set for FM18, FM19, beyond. On our forums, because we've got a huge community forum, we've got a whole thread on there. Any ideas you throw in there, some wonderful ideas come up there, but we haven't got the time to put all these in and also maintain that simulation. So that's where the key balance comes from.
Mm.
Regarding the scouting network, I think we're at 1,600 now, something like that.
Which
scouts
is
worldwide.
Surely above any professional football organisation in the
world.
We're
up there,
right?
Aren't we? You know?
Yeah.
We are absolutely up there. And I know we've got licensed data deals now with Watford, I believe.
Which makes sense, right? Because Miles is a Watford fan.
He is a big Watford fan, and also
I should say Miles
deal
is the guy who kind of runs Sports Interactive.
Miles Jacobson, studio director, and also Everton as well. We've got a deal with them, and we also are in partnership with Stats, who were formerly Prozone. So we work with them at the moment as well.
Okay, so what's Stats? And you're nodding your head there, Jim, as a sports journalist. What's Stats for people who wouldn't know at home?
Prozone.
As it was.
Well, I was actually reading a piece that we ran, Vice Sports ran, about a year and a half ago, which was talking about your association with Prozone.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably best you talk about Prozone.
Well, as I say, it's now called Stat.
Yes.
Basically, we've had them down to the office and we've discussed how their stats engine works. Because, you know, Prozone, you quite often see them. I'm not sure if they've still got a deal with Sky Sports, but they used to.
So these are the company that's providing that information. Right.
Okay, yeah. And obviously, we do a similar thing. So we kind of shared ideas with them. We don't use their software and we haven't taken any of their software and put it into the game. But we certainly have kind of had a bit of cross-pollination. And we have their logo in the game and that kind of thing, you know, just to bring, again, it's like a legitimacy, you know.
That's realism, isn't it? It's like FIFA having stuff in a FIFA game.
Yeah, of course.
Called FIFA is a bit of a giveaway one already, yeah.
yeah. So that's a nice side to it, you know. But I would say to anyone that's not really sure about the scouting network, this is a bit of a tip as well for FM players, have a look at the international under 23 squads, the under 18 squads, because...
But Southampton would lose half their team then. Again, this is the thing.
But you know these guys are going to be of a high quality, right? Mm. I mean, it's the first place I go and look whenever I start up a new game, especially if I'm in a club that hasn't got too much money.
Mm.
If you can sign a few of these youngsters in, you know they're going to have the potential to rise through. Even if you just put them into reserves, into your under 23 squad, let them develop for a season and a half, you will see stars rising out. And that's, you know, that's a bit of a tip to sort of start you off on the path of finding.
Is that how you would play, Jim, presumably? Back in the day, you'd
picking up the youngsters.
Yeah.
I always preferred starting off as a League One side and building a team of grizzled veterans.
And then
picking up some of my own youth
generation.
Players. Yeah, that was the way I did it. I was never great at picking up youth players from other clubs because I never felt I would play for long enough to see them really blossom. Right. I was all about instant, let's get out of League One as quickly as possible. Yeah, so let's get a couple of guys who were playing in the Championship last year, a couple of the youth players, and up we go. That was my tried and tested formula.
That formula was so simple in real life.
Well, indeed, yeah.
You do get them, though. You know, you see players in there that are 33, 34 in midfield, and if you can just get them on that last season, often they're quite cheap as well. You know, their wage expectations have come down. It does happen in real life.
Edgar Davids.
There you go, Davids. Yeah. How many clubs? He was such a journeyman, wasn't he? In the end, he went through so many clubs, and yet he had a certain level of performance that never dropped, did it? And I think that is another technique for playing Football Manager, especially if you, what do you do, one or two seasons, you find?
4 to 5.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a small investment. Not the 40 season mark, but you know.
No.
You're low on the curve in terms of, because we've got statistics built into the game, various things attract more and more things each year that we release. And the curve kind of drops off at 2 to 3 seasons. Mm. So 4 to 5, you're probably down in the bottom 5 to 10% of players.
Okay.
A lot of people, they tend to do 1, 2 or 3 seasons and then they recycle and start pick another challenge, you know, and try something
team,
else. And on the mobile version of the game, Football Manager Mobile, as it's called, there's actually a cap on that one. It only goes 20 seasons. More to do with memory.
Yeah, I was going to say, consideration. Because it can't keep generating players.
Because it's stats, it needs to keep, you know, the histories and everything. You have to kind of end it at a certain point. But on the PC, you can go on as long as you want. I think we've had a guy... just broke the world record. Did you see that little piece?
No.
I forget his name now.
There was something I read in Gaming Book of Records, whatever order it is. Played 100 and something consecutive seasons.
Something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, no. Incredible. Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
he released his data as well, and amazingly, Newcastle actually won the Premiership. I think it was something like 2055.
That was science fiction.
Yeah. Now we're dreaming.
Yeah. I think there was something that came out last year, wasn't there? I'm going to totally remember the actual stat, but about somebody who'd simulated the game for...
Simulated it.
And I can't remember who... I want to say like West Ham never won the league or something in that whole time or something like that. I think Southampton won it 3 times, which sounds about right for us. You know, in 1,000 years, maybe we'll win it 3 times.
There you go.
But in terms of what you're saying about bringing Millwall up and, you know, I would always, you know, again, pick the youth players, try and bring people up. There was, you know, a guy at my university who would... I'm pretty sure he always picked Kidderminster Harriers.
Nice.
Like sort of early, late 90s, early noughties stage where he was, you know, where that team was not... I mean, are they a league team now or are they non-league again?
I think they are a non-league.
Yeah. Because my local team, Eastleigh, is now in the National League, which is hilarious. The fact that they could play in the same league as Portsmouth next season is fantastic. But, you know, people stay with the game because their team is doing well. Mm. You know, is that a deliberate thing, like not to, you know, draw any secrets out of you, but, you know, it'd be a bit shit if you chose a Forest Green or someone... and they finished 17th, and then the next season they finished 15th, the next season they finished 16th. I mean, do you hear stories of people who just like grind away for 40 seasons and they never get a promotion or something?
I think you need to win. I think you need, it's a human requirement, isn't it? You know, to get that thrill of winning. But then there's winning and there's staying in the league. I mean, if you're going to, Pompey's a classic one, you know. I mean, what a fall they've had over the past decade or so. But if I was to play as Pompey now and just keep them alive, even if they finish 15th or 14th and gradually get them back to safety, that would be an achievement, wouldn't you? I think you would get that feeling of accomplishment from having done that. So it's the beautiful thing about football, isn't it? You know, it's not all about winning the league. Sometimes it's just about maintaining where you are and then gradually pushing up.
Mm. I mean, do you have to have that, the fantasy element to it? It to the game though as well, because we know the stats are amazing, we know the level of detail is incredible, you know, got a database of what, like 750,000 players or something this time.
Yeah, it's around, I think it's more than that actually,
you know?
Yeah,
I mean, that's, or players and staff, and
if you play with a large database, yeah, you're getting up
pretty
to those numbers.
Incredible.
Yes it is. Yeah
but I'm guessing, you say about people drop off after 2 or 3 seasons, I'm guessing if you're not winning they're gonna try and switch it up,
I mean, the whole board promised, the boardroom promises system, which has been improved this year, a very good example is Newcastle. The first 2 seasons I played, it was a beta version of the game, but I thought, right, I'm going to get stuck into this, because not only am I senior producer over the whole of Football Manager, but I am the producer on the gameplay and AI team, so I'm the kind of project manager for all the guys that do the AI in the game, which is media interaction, player interaction. And one of the things we've improved is board promises. So is Newcastle. If you get to Christmas, early January, and you're not fourth or third, the promises start coming out, and you basically have to improve within two or three games or you're gone. And the first two seasons, this is a guy that's worked at the company 15 years. I was fired. I was gone. I thought, this is really hard, you know. I mean, Rafa, hand it to him. He's done well. But I tell you, if he was to start to fade off now,
yeah,
the pressure would be there. Can you imagine what the pressure would be like?
Huge.
You know, when we first went down and he started off, I thought, if we lose, because the first game of the season was against Fulham, I was there.
Yeah, the draw,
Craven Cottage, we lost. And it was because there were so many new players in there. There wasn't that team blend, you know, but it was disappointing. And I thought, if we get two or three losses here, his neck is going to be on the line, isn't it? You know, and that's what it's about.
I just want to see
been reflected in
Mike
the game
Ashley
this year.
And Rafa just have at it. You know, I reckon Rafa can hold himself. That's not something you can simulate in Football Manager.
No, not yet. Defamation, I'm afraid.
The manager coming to blows with the chairman would be something else.
But you do, hey, you know, that's a feature request there, Mike. I'll get that down if you want.
Note it down. I want to see it in Football Manager. 2020, yeah, that'll do.
2020, yeah.
2020. It's amazing that you're thinking about these things now, you know, 2-3 years in advance.
Yeah,
but you know, but you do. I mean, obviously, we had the headlines. Vice mentioned it as well. Vice Sports mentioned it about Brexit being in the new one, or certainly
how that
would impact. Maybe. I mean, is that something that you look at more and more? You know, you do the football simming stuff really well, but looking more about external influences that are going to have an impact on what is a worldwide industry.
We had to. I mean, the whole work permit system is completely mirrored, like in real life, in Football Manager. There's a guy on my team has to do the Italian transfer system, although it's got a lot simpler now because they're phasing out co-ownership. But
right,
co-ownership
right.
was a nightmare. I mean, you look at the examples.
It's co-ownership of the players, right?
Of the players, and an agent involved as well, and possibly another third party. You look at all the Tevez stuff. Remember what happened with Sheffield and West Ham and big problems. They're starting to phase it out, but we prided ourselves on getting it right. So as soon as the Brexit vote came through on Thursday, in June, the next day we just said, we're going to have to mirror this because the work permit system between Europe and a Brexited Great Britain is going to be different. You know, it wouldn't be fair in a way to just carry on through the game and not have that. So we sat down. Again, it was my team, the AI guys, we sat and had four or five meetings and worked out what we could do, keeping the scope to football because...
It's hard to put too much into it, obviously, because you're going to hit players bitching about it on Steam.
Of course.
Right? Why you put politics in our video games?
Well, exactly. Who wants to deal with that, you know?
I know, right?
I mean, there's other football manager games from the past. I won't name any names, but where you had this micromanagement, you know, you can set the price of the hot dogs at the halftime and the pies and all this. Yeah,
which is obviously what chairmen of clubs and stuff do, you know, managers. Arsene Wenger's doing it all the time. How much are the pies this week, Sally?
10p more.
How much are the pies at the Emirates right now?
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea. I'd never purchase a pie.
Never bought a pie.
No. I've been there a couple of times. They're pretty expensive.
Yeah, I think that much is certain. I couldn't tell you how much.
I think I'm going there for the League Cup game. So I'll let you know. Right. Yeah. Are you going to go? We should go.
Yes, I was thinking about it, actually.
Let's
got
do
completely
it.
Off topic.
Yeah, since we'll...
How do you feel about the one? Was it you that followed Arsenal?
Yeah.
How do you feel about the draw this weekend? Was it
with Spurs?
Yeah. Take that.
Well, on the balance of what happened in the game, I think a draw was the right result, in so much as we both had periods of being on top and both had periods of being kind of to the wall.
Right.
But probably given that Spurs had Kane coming back from injury, they've been on a really bad run.
He scored as well, didn't he? He got the equaliser.
Given that, I think Arsenal probably should look at that as 2 points dropped.
Right.
Whereas Spurs will be very happy to go away from that with a point, even though they've drawn.
Yeah.
I don't know, 12 games in a row or something.
Yeah, a lot of draws, isn't it? Yeah. But that micromanagement side is basically what you said, bringing in non-football elements in a football manager just doesn't work, you know. So we did try and keep it very linear. Obviously, what we didn't foresee was the High Court putting the oar in.
You know?
So we all sat down the next day. We're going to have to implement some sort of High Court.
There might be a patch or something.
There you go.
We were
going to bill it as... are you upset that Brexit's been stalled? Play Football Manager. You might have more of a chance. You know?
There you go. It's happy days at the moment in Football Manager. But I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we're recording this on the day where America's doing its voting right now for the next president. Because I was thinking, if you can bring Brexit into it, I know you do quite. Do you provide stats to the MLS? You work with the MLS?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because there's a licensed league.
Presumably, there's going to be a situation where. If you were playing in the MLS, and I don't think he will, but let's say Trump gets in and he said certain things about, there's a big Latino following football, lots of players in the MLS as well. You know, some of them might be thinking, well, maybe I don't want to play here anymore. Is that something that Football Manager could simulate? Like if that political situation, that climate, that country's changed and these players want to leave?
I think we would have to, in that case, mirror real life. So we'll look and see what happens with the transfer market. were there to be a shift of Latin players staying in the South American leagues instead of going up, you know, then we would reflect that in the game. Whereas with Brexit, because, I mean, we're a British company, right? Yeah. And it was a bit closer to home. We wanted to try and simulate what was going to happen. But for the MLS, I think we'd leave it out. And also, do you know, I mean, you know about the MLS rules and regulations. They are incredibly, let's say, unique to America.
Right.
You know, the draft picking, the draw. It's all very
alien to us, isn't it?
I've learned over the years because, again, in my team is one of the guys that codes all those different rules. And I've just learned it over the years, you know, about the draft and about designated players and, you know, how all the teams go through and the various stages. But it's certainly a complex system and we wouldn't want to try and extrapolate forward on that one. We'd definitely just see how it turns out in real life, first of all.
It's funny you say about, you know, learning from the game. I wonder if you, as a sports journalist, you know, played Football Manager, you know, do you learn about some of the business of football from Football Manager?
I mean, you mentioned earlier co-ownership in Italy. The reason I know about, or initially as maybe a 12-year-old, knew what co-ownership in Italy was from playing Football Manager, what was then Championship Manager, and the limitations on foreign players, work permits.
Work permits
the
is
first,
a big one.
You know, the first time I heard the word work permit was from Football Manager. So, yeah, it did teach you so much.
That first time you signed that sort of, you know, hidden Brazilian gem, you think, look at this guy, look at his stats, can't believe I've got him so cheap. And then bang, you don't get the work permit.
Yeah.
You know, you never do it again, do you? You know, after that. You know.
Yeah.
But it's funny. I mean, you look at obviously, you know, how it looks on a screen, how it looks on a page when, in games magazines and stuff. And it's not the sexiest looking game in the world. Although the engine looks pretty sweet these days. You know, when I say it's a lot different from the dots.
Yep, that's right.
And so forth. I mean,
you mentioned, who said 2008? Who
was that? Was me.
That was you.
Yeah,
that was still dots, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because it was 2000 FM 2009. We brought in the 3D match engine. And if you see the difference between 2009 and now, I mean, it's incremental each year.
Yeah.
But even if you compare two or three versions back,
Well, they are seasons, right?
They are. I mean, God, that's my life basically. Isn't this season. The improvement is huge, you know, and the especially the animations and how they move and the IK and the inverse kinematics and the number of variations on the animations this year is incredible. You know, we also put in a new camera angle behind goal close, I think it's called, something like that, which I've found isn't something you want to watch while you're watching the game play out.
Yeah,
it's like when you get those seats, you know, when you're at the sort of parallax angle and it's like, is that going to be in? And then you see it on match of the day and it's like 10 feet wide, wasn't it? You know, but if you put it on your replay, your goal replay camera, you can have the sort of blimp view or the elevated camera, as we call it, and then on your goal you actually see the proper ball and the guy heading it in, and wonderful, you know, it's a real nice addition this year.
Yeah, I mean, has that, you know, with the platforms that it's on getting better and better. I know it's PC folks, but obviously, you know, the hardware gets better and better each time.
It does, yeah.
Is that something that's taking up a lot of the studio's time? Because, you know, the research of the players and stuff, I guess that's an ongoing thing, but with every time that the capacity, I suppose, for doing the aesthetic stuff gets better, you kind of have to step up, I guess.
We want to use it, yeah.
But at the same time, there must be people who've played the game for years who maybe don't like all the 3D stuff. I don't know.
Again, coming back to the Steam stats, which are published regarding the CPU and the RAM, which is your main two things that you're talking about there. A lot of people, but it looks like, A, only play Football Manager. They don't have any other games, you know.
That's their Steam library.
Absolutely not wanting to have to shell out year after year after year. So we've got this huge amount of people at the bottom that are still on XP, that are still on a 2.2 gigahertz processor, you know, with a minimum 1 gigabyte of graphics RAM there. And we've got to make sure that the game runs well enough on them. So yeah, we have got this balance between using new tech. I remember when, what's it called, SLI, the first time SLI came out, which was about 07, which is two cards in a machine.
Right.
We're like, oh my God, you know, how are we going to actually use this stuff and still maintain the lower end? But we did manage to put in some features on the very high mode that took advantage of that extra power.
Yeah.
It's all about making sure that your compatibility across these different versions is maintained with clear settings, as in low, medium, high, very high. I mean, there's nothing better if you both own PCs when you do get that bit of new graphics, you know, you can notch up the you know, put an extra bit of an oomph on your graphic settings, yeah. And suddenly the grass is just that bit more lovely and you've got, you know, proper sky being simulated. It's lovely, isn't it? That sort of thing. And that's what we're driving at, really.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, again, it brings to the realism, but also, like you say, with the fantasy side with arranging your camera and whatnot and watching it all back, you say about people who still got their lower kind of spec machines, but they want to play the new stuff. What does keep people coming back to you? Like, what is it about these things that makes it so addictive? Because we've all been there.
Yeah, we have.
We've all had the late nights. Will, who Jim works with, Will was saying that you had quite an addiction at some point, and maybe you mentioned there might have been an intervention or something.
Oh dear.
I may be exaggerating slightly.
That may have been an exaggeration. No, I do
a
remember.
Divine or your wife?
Human, yeah. No, it was just, as I mentioned earlier, just playing for solid days, particularly the time when university would finish and there'd be a time before anyone put pressure on me to get a job again, and you could literally play all day.
Yeah, halcyon days.
That was when it was really good. But I never got to the point of, I read about a guy who would put a suit on when he got to the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
And also,
if you in the office do that.
If he got a touchline ban, he'd leave the room. He'd set the game to play, walk out the room, come back, hit play again, and then walk out.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that's real next level addiction.
That's fun. That is hooked. I mean, maybe they need a bit of help, those people. But, it shows, you know, the game gets into people's blood, under the skin, you know,
I don't think it is. I mean, I don't want to sort of malign the work of the match team and the graphics guys because they're putting, graphs. But I don't think it is that hooks us, that hooks people. It's this simulation factor that, you literally, it's just one more game, you know. I was back to the beat I was playing. I think I was in the office. It was a relatively quiet afternoon. And I swear I went 4 games before I actually went and had that Wii that I really needed, you know. And I thought, and I remember saying to my boss, Miles, I think we've cracked it here. I think this version is absolutely brilliant. Yep. I so needed that.
I mean, I'm dribbling, but it's all fine. The game is great.
Yeah.
I need to change. Yeah. But we do. I mean, for better and worse. I mean, we had an article run last year about someone who, like, you know, did he create a character? I think he created or brought one of the fictional footballers through and like, had this relationship
That's
with
a brilliant
him
article.
At Celtic. So you see that kind of thing. But I was also reading and stuff about, like, people who've, and you can correct me here, it's been cited in divorce cases.
3 times now, yeah.
As like a reason why relationships fall apart. You know, when you see that kind of thing, is that like, like,
it's a bit
funny,
tongue-in-cheek, hasn't
or do you
it?
Kind mean, of think like, oh shit,
you know, we don't want obviously to say, well, we're a home breaker here as a game, but
what a reputation for Football Manager to have.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that gets kind of knocked about a bit, and we don't put a big spotlight on it, but at the end of the day, I think they're enjoying it.
Yeah, but one of the two people in that relationship was loving it. Yeah.
They got their 30 quid's worth that year, you know. Yeah. And it's just about managing it yourself, you know. It's like any addiction, I suppose. I mean, if you look at the other addictions out there, drugs and drinks and all that, at least it's not something that's physically damaging. And at the end of the day, if you can make sure you don't sort of break your relationship in half or lose your job, then I think you'll really get your money's worth out of it. So
that's fine. You're never going to go down that Nintendo kind of old Nintendo way of doing things. I think, well, other places have done it before, like, you know, with the little messages comes up. So maybe you should take a break.
We've got a thing actually on the game status, which is our addictiveness rating.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, I remember
he's seen it because it's told him to go and change things like that.
Change your clothes,
And it keeps a log in the game of how long you're going and changes. You get a little string up, you know, that just warns you about stuff. I mean, again, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but we are acknowledging that folks are really getting quite hooked in it.
Hi, Mr. Weeks, maybe you should eat now.
Exactly. I mean, again, stats built in. Last year for FM 2016, the average playtime over the course of the, you know, year was 220 hours. Per person. I mean, when you consider your
average
AAA title, Zelda or whatever, Mario, it's probably about 12 to 14 hours. Yeah. Maybe you play it a couple of times if you really like it, but it's brilliant. We absolutely love that sort of thing. You know, that really is a very appreciated thing and something that we're very honoured to be able to make a product that gives that to people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do people get into it as well that who I mean, I'm guessing the answer is yes, who aren't obviously big football fans?
I think it helps to certainly know a bit about football, but what we're trying to do is open it up to new players just to give them a taste. I mean, you've got the demo out there. We've always, as a company, done the demo, which is brilliant.
Which is a rarer thing these days.
Absolutely. The total full game, other than it just stops at six months. You can take that save, though, and put it into your main game. And it's just giving people a taste, you know. And that's, again, we give them a little bit of a taste.
That is how drug dealers work, though.
It should be
first
said,
one
right?
Free. Yeah. But anyone that's not really into football that much, maybe that's a way for them to come in. I do think a lot of our fans are quite diehard, or whatever you want to call it. They follow a team themselves. They maybe go and watch football as well. And then they get back and they want to kind of carry that on. But we are looking at a new market as well, and youngsters coming through that maybe don't know quite so much about footy, but they might learn. I suppose there's a bit of art imitates life, you know. They might learn about football and then think, oh, I want to go and see a match. You know, I want to actually see this happen. So it's the two sort of work together. Symbiosis.
Yeah, I just love the way that we've reached a point where a video game that was built by originally a couple of guys, right?
Two brothers, still with the company as well.
Yeah, two brothers back in the day, you know, because they liked, for me, I mean, it looked like teletext or something, basically. It wasn't what modern, you know, here's a few boxes, whatever.
The old Amiga
what was
version.
96 or something?
It's earlier than that, 93, I think.
93,
The first version, CM1, didn't have real players. And then CM2, there was an update for it that put in the real players. And then that's when it really started to take off.
That's a big difference, isn't it? Because I remember playing, I was a big Sensible Soccer fan back when.
Oh,
when
me
World
too.
Of Soccer Sensible came World. And I was like, that's the one. But
on the Amiga, right?
On the Amiga, yeah.
What a
but
game.
When you play on other platforms like the Mega Drive and it didn't have the proper players in, or sometimes, or like these new little plugins, you're like, it's not the same. I know it's the same game.
It had a name like sort of David Bockham or
Gary Longacre or something, Gareth Longacre.
I remember some of those games as well. You would get a repetition as you went through the season. So you would get, rather than Gary Pallister, you'd get M. Pallister, you know, and you knew that he was going to have really good stats because he'd obviously built it in a bit cheaply, you know, to sort of regenerate these things. Whereas CM always had that sort of fresh, and we've always tested and play tested over many, many seasons. Yeah. So we've still maintained that sort of simulation, you know. But when I joined in 2001, I was the 12th person to join. And now there's 110. So you can see how it's really kind of ballooned
and
outwards.
That's mad for making just one game.
Just one game, yeah. Across the various formats.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course, yeah.
We've always had an eye on new technologies. It's one of the things that keeps it kind of fresh, you know. We're not just a PC game. We're PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android this year. We've been on Vita, PSP, previously or Xbox 360. So we've always kept our...
I had a Mega Drive version back in the day as well.
Mega Drive.
97.
Was that before my time?
That might have been Premier Manager, it was called. It was Sega,
Sega, yeah, before we had any dealings with Sega as well.
That was a bit ropey. But it was.
There was a few of them. There was Ultimate Soccer Manager, I remember playing. Quite enjoyed that. That was just before I really got into...
Okay.
Championship/ Football Manager.
Yeah.
That was probably a bit of a gateway.
I was here. Emlyn Hughes, Soccer Manager.
Right.
Or
that
was
bandied about
as a good one back in the day. Yeah.
That is turning the clock back.
I suppose it's applauded, really, to say that we're the one that's managed to come through all of that, because there were a lot of them, weren't there, back in the day.
And narrowed down to
just you guys now.
Why fight it?
Well, yeah. But then you say that, you look at the new FIFA, which you were just discussing. I mean, the new player, what's it called, Journey?
Yeah, the journey mode.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play it myself. I'll be honest with you, when I get home, I play anything other than a football game.
I bet, yeah.
And also the problem I have with FIFA and PES is, because in Football Manager, it's a true simulation. In PES and FIFA, I'm sorry if I'm bursting any bubbles, but basically the height of the player and the size of the pitch is completely wrong. I mean, when I look at FIFA, they're 10 foot tall, and it takes them a split second to get to the halfway line, and it just totally jars me because I'm so used to FM being absolutely bang on in terms of the dimensions that I can't.
Yeah,
I just can't.
I've never really thought about it before, but if you compare what you see at a football match from the stands to what you play in FIFA, and clearly they're larger men.
Yeah. But as I was going to say, Journey coming in there, it's had, you know, a good response. Mm. You could see them really pushing the manager. I know they did a FIFA manager, and I think has fallen by the wayside. I think it has. It's not even a mode, is it, anymore?
I don't. They have like career modes and
career
stuff.
Career modes, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I play PES, and so I get to do
you're on the PES
side. I can look at the youth team, which is all made up, by the way, even at Southampton. It's quite disappointing that it's got all the players and everything, but the youth team is not the youth team I know.
I mean, Saints are known for it as well, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, it's quite disappointing. But you can, you know, transfers. Like you're saying, like the difference there is, like, you know, in PES, I can win the league with Southampton in my first, this was last year, and then, you know, get a pot of money, try and tempt Gareth Bale back. Of course he's saying no, like he would do in real life, but James Rodriguez is quite happy to come to Southampton.
Right.
And I like the idea that like that would ever happen in real life. You know, it's hilarious. But in, for someone like Football Manager, you know, that would, I'd have to, with Southampton, probably win the league three times in a row to get a player of that kind of quality to come to Southampton.
It's all about reputations, isn't it? You know, got to, you'd have to do seriously well, I think, to be able to bring them back over. There is, when you do a scout report now, a lot more data in Football Manager 17, and the classic thing you see on the sort of negative side is just wouldn't be interested in joining, you know. And but now we're going to, we tell the manager that, we tell the scout that before you actually put the money down and start trying to negotiate them. So again, we're trying to make it a bit easier. If you're shooting above your grade, above your belt, then forget it.
It doesn't matter about the money. It's about the rep.
It's about
the
reputation.
Which is nice. If only that was reflected in modern football a little bit more. I mean, I guess it's thereabouts.
Yeah, sure.
But I mean, do you generally find, I know you said you picked up Newcastle for the beta, and I know whenever I played, I never really chose Southampton very much. I did Liverpool one time, and that was when I was buying in Aaron Ramsey as well, and Joe Ledley, and who's the fullback? Gunter, is it?
Welshman.
Yeah.
For some reason, that year was like loads of good Welsh players, and they've all pretty much blossomed. You know, Jim is a proud Welshman over there.
Yeah.
Do you find that most people don't choose the team they support because it's? I would find that kind of.
You're
weird.
Absolutely right. Again, looking at the stats that are the early stats that I've seen this year, Newcastle is fifth or sixth highest team that people choose to start.
Because they see it as a team with potential, I guess,
exactly,
to take up.
Yeah, you know, you've kind of got this coast of the first season to rebuild. You've got a big pot of cash there as well. And that's why they're a popular choice. I actually, when I'd failed the two times, as aforementioned, I went and played the Chinese Super League. And I picked up Shanghai Shenhua, who have up front, they've got Obafemi Martins and Demba Ba, who are two big ex-Newcastle strikers that I knew were well. And Freddie Guarin sits in the middle. And basically, the rest of the team, I'm not slighting the Chinese players, but they're not of that same standard.
Yeah.
So you basically channel everything through Freddie, who pumps it out to these two strikers, and they shoot on sight. And it's really fun, you know. And I managed to win the league on the final day of the season, and it was good. It was a real kind of refreshing way of doing it. So I think there are other challenges out there. What I think happens is most people, they either do the challenge first of all, and then they go back and say, right, I'm going to do my Man U, or I'm going to do my standard save.
Okay.
Or they do it the other way around. They try something new, but then they go back and try the
You don't want to see your team fail.
No, you don't.
You only get into this to see your team do well.
Of course.
It's funny. I haven't really been following the Chinese league, which is funny because we sold Pella over there, obviously.
Incredible amount.
He's like the eighth or something highest paid footballer in the world right now, which is incredible for a 32-year-old, you know, sometime international for Italy.
And the quirk of the league is in the rules, you can only play three of your foreign signings. So everyone, they buy these four players that cost them an actual bomb. And one of them sits on the bench half the time, you know. So he's just sat there kind of thinking away.
Yeah. Earning 30 quid a second or whatever. Well, that was the Gareth Bale day that was on.
I'll put in a quick tip as well, seeing if anyone does want to try the Super League. Go for the best goalkeeper that you can find, which has to be a national, you know, has to be a Chinese player.
Right.
But because a lot of the goalkeepers aren't of a high standard, if you get a good one, it will absolutely make your defence lock tight. So
Demba Ba cannot beat that top Chinese keeper. Football Manager is out now, like you say. So it's out now for all the platforms.
On all the platforms, which I'll go over again. It's PC, Mac, and Linux through Steam, and then on iOS and Google Play for Android. And Football Manager Mobile, which is our sort of cut down version, that one comes out, I think, in week and a half's time, something like that. Yep.
Sweet. And is it something that you want? Because you have been on consoles before. Is it something you want to do in the future? Bring it to other consoles?
Again, we've always got an eye on it. When we did the last version we did on console was Xbox 360, which wasn't brilliant. You know, we've always had this kind of problem with Football Manager in the 10-foot, as they call it, experience, your sofa experience, you know. Because, yes, it is a text-intensive game. And whilst the 3D match looks great now, as we were talking about, once you come out of that and you are having to look at statistics and the attributes and the various sort of factors, it is a difficult thing to do over that distance.
Yeah.
So we have got teams that are looking at the UI side. And I think if ever we crack it, then we'd look at PS4 or PS Pro or whatever it is now, you know, an Xbox One. But until that point, we're quite content to stay where we are.
I want to see 4K HDR Football Manager.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? I mean, even now the match would do it with scale up, no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, being on iOS, we're Retina. So, you know, we've already got that implemented. But again, imagine a 4K screen, but with just the statistics and
just
the attributes
tons
and
of, oh my tons God, of numbers.
Ah, your eyes bleeding sort of thing. You know?
Be beautiful, beautiful. Burning into, yeah, like I say, burning into you. And just finally as well, something I read about you, which you can tell me if I'm wrong. You said about you, when you get home, you don't want to play a football game. But you said your favourite game is Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
So absolutely love Last it. Guardian's out in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait.
You excited for this?
Absolutely. Trico. I thought that one was dead and buried. Yeah. If there, ever there was going to be vaporware, it was going to be Trico. I'm calling it Trico because, you know, it's the third one from that team.
But that's the name of the creature as well.
It is. That's right, yeah. But to actually see it out there, I can't wait. I'm absolutely chuffed that they've got there and they've got the thing out and it hasn't just died. So I'll be onto that straight away.
I played it last week and I'm currently under embargo and can't.
Oh, really?
You've had
a go.
Okay. So, yeah, you can, any listeners out there who are interested in The Last Guardian, you can read about it on Waypoint in the coming days. Thanks very much, guys. Where can people find you on the internet if they want to follow you or see what you're talking about or just harass you? Or maybe not harass you, but just say hello.
Yeah, please don't harass me. I'm at Jimmy_Weeks on Twitter. So yeah, say something nice and read Vice Sports.
And read Vice Sports, which is great.
That's very important.
Which, if I'm honest, and you know, I really love the football coverage on Vice Sports because, like, even the match reports are not like normal match reports. They're not like boring match reports.
We do our best.
I tell you, Scott, that some of the best football coverage around is over there. I know we're in the Vice building and I should be bigging it up, but
contractually obliged to say that.
But genuinely, I'm not contractually obliged to say that. And Grant yourself,
we've got the Twitter account, you know, Football Manager, hashtag Football Manager. So that's the place.
And do you read all the ads you get to that? People are like, I can't do that. Do you offer help through that? Like,
yeah, we do. I mean, again, it comes into the community. Mm. Anything that's logged there through Twitter or on our community or through Facebook, the QA guys pick it up straight away and, you know, we help people out wherever we can.
Awesome. So it's not like anyone playing the game is just in a vacuum. You are listening.
Absolutely not. No way. And because they might say that in the next tweet or whatever, oh, by the way, have you thought about implementing this? Sort of, yeah, great. Thanks. Yeah. Really appreciate that, you know.
Awesome. Well, cool. Thanks, guys. And
thank you.
Thanks for listening,
okay.
Everyone.
Cheers.
Waypoint.vice.com. Bye now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.